call the regular meeting to order. So please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have accounts payable or anything?
Yeah, we probably do.
Well, I'm just going to
do it. Do you mind moving forward on?
Yeah,
we'll go ahead and move to the consent agenda, and we'll come back and finish accounts payable.
Madam Chair, I move we approve consent agenda item A.
Second.
Which is two sets of minutes, yeah.
Yep. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No one appears to be here for public comment. I assume none of you would like to make public comment. Great. Tom, do you want to... Are you ready to do that?
Yeah, I don't have a Monday report here, so let me look. I don't see a... can't remember the... I think the only warrant report I sent you last week was a very short one, but let me look here, make sure.
We could still just defer
it
to the... further in the meeting.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. If you want. You want to go ahead and come back to it? We can do that. All right, we'll table it momentarily here, and we'll go ahead and take a look at the supplemental budgets. Come on up.
Can you do the levy resolution for, or the certification of levies and revenues first?
Mm-hmm.
So Stacy doesn't have to wait.
No problem.
Okay.
All right, so we're considering certification of the mill levies and property tax revenue for 2020. Do you have information to give us on this?
So there's the packet there, and that's just the agenda communication form.
Yep.
That page is the kind of a graph. It's just a summary of... of the various property tax segments, and then there's these longer legal sheets are the compare, so that's comparing the property tax amounts and valuations with last year's. And then there's if there anything, any of the gross mill levy revenues are over or under 10% change, there's a little explanation on the side. And then there's the report that has been already entered and ready to submit if it's approved by the state.
Do either of you have any questions?
So on this page here, when it talks about the TIF, that's looking at Route County for 2019, that's the $21,136,546 is the revenue after the TIF has been deducted out of it. Is that what that means?
Why does it say TIF in parentheses, I guess, would be...
Because it's indicating that our revenue has been deducted.
That's what I'm asking. Is that what it's indicating?
All of the revenue, including the TIF.
I see.
Because... then that would be the total collection and the total...
And then something's coming out.
So we're certifying this to go to the treasurer so that it can be submitted.
I can give you a better answer on that.
Well, I'm just always curious to know what that dollar amount is.
Yeah, it is the total revenue. The total gross revenue for all the mill levies includes that TIF.
Includes the TIF.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on page 6 it says revenue to TIF. That's probably what you're looking for.
Yes, exactly.
But that's the total amount, right? Not the amount from each entity.
Yes, that's the total. At the bottom, revenue to TIF.
Yep.
The $2.6 million for 2019.
There's also...
So that's all of the TIFs. That's not only from us.
That's the TIF total from the school districts. Yeah. Well, I understand.
And everybody, so...
If you,
that doesn't actually make me feel that much.
No, I understand. You know, we function off of 21 million, and yeah, the TIF gets 20. It gets 2.
Yeah, 10%.
If you look at page
noted.
16...
Thanks, Tim. We noted that.
I'll talk to Jason about it.
Okay, great.
Page 16 has a nice detailed breakdown of the TIF revenue from each different entity, and then that.
There you go. That's, I knew it was in here somewhere.
So 16, that's just the base value. That doesn't tell how much the property tax is.
Right.
So that's just the increment in the valuation for each one of the entities.
Not the dollar amount.
Yep.
No, that's the revenue. In 1,187,000 revenue attributable.
You're right. This is written. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just looking at the column.
Oh, so it only cost us $850,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Any other questions?
No, I guess, are you ready for it?
Yeah, you're going to probably, I think you need a resolution number.
One motion, yeah, that's what I was going to say, too.
It's all one, right? Am I reading this
right? Items A and B?
No, yeah. We're just doing item B right now.
We're just doing item B. Okay.
Right.
Madam Chair, I would move to adopt 2019 resolution number 2019-70 to levy taxes.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve and authorize your signature on the certification of the 2020 mill levies and revenue.
Second.
And also right here.
I'm sorry. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So there's no... Okay, got it. I gotcha. Just that one?
Yes.
Okay. And here's that. Perfect. All right. I think that's it for the mill levies, right? Okay.
Yep.
So supplemental budgets, 2018 supplemental budgets.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to this every year.
Do you? It's so nice to hear.
Why? Because
I'm glad that you guys got in, because usually we do these in January. And the last of January as well.
That's early this year.
Yeah, we made a real push to be completed by the end of the year, and if something pops up...
We'll have to do it later then.
We'll have to do it later, but we really scrutinized.
I think this is all good.
Do you have any questions?
I had a couple questions, but I think the first question might be for Tom. How do we have a $300,000 budget oversight? What does that mean? Under Road and Bridge, the very first one.
That would be the one that Ray explained to you earlier in the year when he came in and requested the form to be filled out, so that when they filled out the resolution last year for the budget for Road and Bridge, the bridge got pushed at the very last minute to the next year, so the revenue got pushed, but the expense didn't.
Got it. Okay. That makes more sense than just...
Fortunately, it's water.
Everyone is safe. We're all right.
It's just water. It's okay.
Okay, that makes me feel better than just an oversight. I mean, it is an oversight, but I understand. That was the only question I had. Do either of you have any questions? Actually, I have a different question. And again, this might be a question for Tom. Maybe Dan can answer it. Maybe one of you can answer it. when departments don't budget for overtime, they can just use it and then ask for money for it at the end of the year?
Yeah, they have to ask for it in advance.
And is that happening?
Yep. They're asking me for the approval to do that. As long as I'm approving it based on their ability that they have other funds within their operating budget to cover the cost.
But they don't, because we're approving an additional budget.
Well, you still have to do a supplemental for the personnel cost.
Because we appropriated personnel, operations, and capital.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that these are taking funds from their operating budget.
So I think, are you talking about the fair?
Well, the fair, yeah, the fair is the main one, I think.
One of those things that wasn't able, was supposed to be going to be comped out.
That's right.
And then didn't have an opportunity to get it comped out.
I see. Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
Yes, correct.
In your law. And I don't know, did we have any others that were...
There was some in trustee, and then there was some in the accounting department as well, some overtime budget.
We had an overtime budget, but because of turnover in other departments, it caused us to lend a hand.
Yeah, and I understand that. I guess my question is just what the process is for people exceeding their overtime budget. And it sounds like, Tom, you're reviewing that before it happens.
That's correct.
It's not just like this is the first time that we hear about it and it's done.
No.
Okay.
Other than first time you've heard about it.
Right, right. We being like collectively are we. And then I did have one other question. I guess I was confused that the purchase of the Oak Creek property came out of the heavy equipment pool reserves. That seemed surprising to me. Is that...
The land belongs... Well, be added to the shop down there, and the land for the shop is in Oak Creek heavy equipment pool budget, because that's where the buildings are.
Huh. It's just confusing because it's
candy,
not it's
candy
not heavy
for
equipment,
Commissioner Corbin.
That's okay. The Tim Corrigan Oak Creek Road and Bridge Shop Extension.
Of the citizens of Brown County.
So you guys have a pool for each shop, or I thought it was all out of one pool.
The heavy equipment pool includes large pieces of equipment in the buildings and land owned by Road and Bridge.
So, but is there one pool for each one of the three shops? It's all the big pool.
It's all one
it's
pool.
It's all one pool. Okay.
I just didn't realize the land and building was in the heavy equipment pool. So that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, those are definitely the only questions I have. Do either of you have any questions?
No, I wasn't taken surprised by any of these. I knew we were. In fact, the one road and bridge one, we already had known that one bridge was over like $200,000 on the County Road 44 bridge. And you awarded it, didn't do the other bridge that was in there.
County Road what?
44 over at Saddle Mountain Ranch.
Oh.
But this is 67.
Yeah, this is 67.
Well, you hand me those.
And we did get some.
Other one is probably all right then, I guess.
We have to do it differently.
So that's the Green Trust Bridge, yeah. Whatever.
The green bridges.
So she's filling out that.
We just have a paper here where we keep track of them. I'm just filling them down. Okay, great. I don't have any other questions. Do you have something?
No.
Okay, great.
One of the reasons why both of us are up here is in prior years, and I don't know how you want to do it, Beth, is we would read the resolution and then the section for each one of these. Do you want to do that?
What do you mean, this section?
This section one, now therefore be it resolved.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
then,
fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And we would read for you and we'd take
and
turns.
We
just
also
so
moved.
Right, and then there was a kind
like
of a rhythm
it
to it. You good?
I'm great. I'm just writing down the numbers.
You're getting your numbers
going for it.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start with 2019-71, which is the Public Works Supplemental Budget.
Let me start. So Resolution 2019-71, Public Works Infrastructure 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Brown Route Colorado that the 2019 budget and appropriations for the public works infrastructure budget shall be increased to $555,005 from $1,410,110 to $1,965,115 to fund the construction of the Green Truss Bridge due to the combination of a budget oversight of $301,460. Additional grant expense of $204,315 and construction overage of $49,230. Funding is available from the federal grant revenues of $163,450 and from public works reserves of $391,555.
So moved.
Second.
Other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, 71 I have is the, 72, the heavy equipment pool capital.
Okay, heavy equipment pool capital 2019 supplemental budget. Now therefore be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the heavy equipment pool capital budget shall be increased $456,000 from $994,100 to $1,450,100 to fund the purchase of two plow trucks that were originally part of the 2018 budget. Funding is available from heavy equipment pool reserves.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. If you guys have any discussion, just jump right in. I won't say it each time.
Okay. You got it.
All right. 73 is also a heavy equipment pool supplemental, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Heavy equipment pool capital 2019 supplemental budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the heavy equipment pool capital budget shall be increased $24,890 from $1,450,100 to $1,474,990 to fund the purchase of land adjacent to the Oak Creek Road and Bridge Shop to provide for future development. Funding is available from the heavy equipment pool reserves.
So moved enthusiastically.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, 74, 2019-74 IT supplemental. Right? Am I in the right spot?
Me, see.
Milner Sanitation.
So we have, I have Milner.
Yeah, Milner
Sanitation. Milner Sanitation System.
Oh, yep, you're right. Thanks. Go ahead. Carry on.
Milner Sanitation System.
That's why we're all here, just keeping track of what's going on.
2019 supplemental budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the Milner Sanitation System operations budget shall be increased by $12,500 from $28,040 to $40,540. To fund the increase in repairs and maintenance costs incurred on the sanitation system lines during 2019. Partial funding of $2,700 will be provided from the Milner system personnel budget due to the part-time employee becoming a contractor. The 2019 budget and appropriation for the Milner sanitation system personnel budget shall be decreased $2,700 from $9,600 to $6,900. The remaining funding of $9,800 is available from the Milner Sanitation Systems Reserve.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. 75 is the General Fund IT.
General Fund Information Technology Personnel 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Information Technologies Personnel Budget shall be increased $30,000 from $1,355,990 to $1,385,990 to fund additional personnel costs in excess of budget resulting from hiring an enterprise application analyst administrator position mid-year, which was not budgeted in 2019. 2019, funding is available from unanticipated sales tax revenue in the general fund.
So moved.
Second.
Any other, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, 76, public health.
General fund, public health, personnel and operations budget, 2019 supplemental budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, the 2019 budget and appropriation for the general fund, environmental, public health, operations budget shall be decreased $47,040 from $389,910 to $342,870 to partially establish a separate county public health department.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
One more section on that.
Oh, sorry. Amended.
Section.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, you're right.
Section 2, the 2019 budget and appropriation for the general fund public health department personnel budget shall be increased $92,010 from zero to $92,010, and the operating budget shall be increased from zero to $66,170. The county's total 2019 public health budget is $158,180. Funding for the county's public health department will be from various federal and state grants and unanticipated sales tax.
So moved.
Second. So I guess we're voiding the first motion, or unless it's a friendly amendment.
All in favor as amended.
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks. 77 is the surveyor supplemental budget from the general fund.
General Fund Surveyor 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Surveyor's Office personnel budget shall be increased by $10 from $6,590 to $6,600 to fund an additional personnel costs. Funding is available from unanticipated General Fund sales tax revenue.
So moved.
Second.
I don't know about that one.
So I guess how do they incur $10 of additional personnel costs? Hire somebody to help him for 12 minutes or something? Or?
Rounding.
It's rounding.
I guess we can live with it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. 2019-78, General Fund Information and Technology Operations.
Okay, General Fund Information Technology Operations 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Information Technology Operations budget shall be increased by $32,200 from $1,017,340 to $1,049,540 to fund an increase in internet service rates resulting from higher than expected NCB expenses for locates and marking of buried fiber optic lines in compliance with the state DigSafe program and for equipment purchased by NCB to connect to Project Thor. Project Thor improved redundancy of telecom service and with additional aggregation of broadband capacity by more West Slope communities, the cost per broadband unit will be lower for Rock County and other internet service providers making purchases of broadband capacity through the NCB. Funding is available from unanticipated sales tax revenue in the general fund.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2018-79, General Fund Wildland Fire Supplemental Budget.
General Fund Wildland Fire Personnel and Operations 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Wildfire Personnel Budget shall be increased by $3,100 from zero to $3,100 to fund unanticipated county personnel costs incurred as a result of suppressing the 2019 wildfires. Funding is available from the General Fund Unanticipated Sales Tax. Section 2, the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Wildland Fire Operating budget shall be increased by $136,000 from $65,450,000 to $201,450 to fund additional suppression costs incurred as a result of the 2019 wildfires. Funding is available from the general fund unanticipated sales.
So moved.
So I have a question on that one. How did we get personnel going up by $3,100?
I'm going to bet for overtime for
road and bridge.
People.
I don't think so.
Going to open the EOC.
Yeah, but for who?
So, you know,
so we're paying out the rest of it in contract fees to the rest of the fire departments.
That's
well,
probably
Road and
where
Bridge
the 136
had to go out there with their bulldozer.
Okay, that could have been that.
I remember.
Okay.
So that's probably.
Okay, I'm good.
The GIS.
Do you want a second?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
did you already?
I did second.
Okay, answer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2019-80, General Fund Detention Operations.
Okay, General Fund Detention Operations Budget 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Detention Operations Budget shall be increased from $338,170 to $400,170 to fund increases in extraditions, inmate supplies, tasers, and jail-based behavioral services grant expense. Funding is available from general fund unanticipated sales tax and jail-based behavioral services grant revenue.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-81 is general fund accounting personnel.
General fund accounting personnel 2019 supplemental budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the general fund accounting personnel budget shall be increased $33,600 from $1,239,390 to $1,272,990 to fund medical insurance in excess of budget for two employees electing family versus single coverage, and to fund overtime in excess of the budget due to staff turnover in the accounting and the human resource departments, and in order to catch up on 10 months of 2018 general ledger accounting and balance sheet reconciliations after the enterprise resource planning ERP implementation on January 1, 2018. Funding is available from a decrease in operations from continuing education and travel, lodging, and meals not used, and from unanticipated sales tax revenue in the general fund. The 2019 budget and appropriation for the general fund accounting operations budget shall be decreased $8,000 from $79,205 to $71,205.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-82, General Fund Community Services Operations.
General Fund Community Services Operations 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Community Services Operations Budget shall be increased $16,500 from $463,800 to $480,300 to fund the replacement of aging equipment and staff training. Funding is available from the Colorado Department of Local Affairs grant funds.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-83, General Fund Elections Operations.
General Fund Elections Operations 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Route, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Elections Operations Budget shall be increased $13,420 from $45,090 to $58,510 to fund additional printing costs from a larger ballot and an additional ballot box required by state legislation.
Should this one doesn't include a funding source, although I can see it in the section below, normally there's an explanation of. Mm-hmm. So maybe the motion should include the funding source will come from fees for election billings and from the Secretary of State grant. Mm-hmm. Yep. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
2019-84, General Fund Emergency Medical Services.
General Fund Emergency Medical Services 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Routt, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Emergency Medical Services personnel budget shall be increased by $300 from $790 to $1,090 to fund additional personnel costs due to additional time being needed for recording minutes at various meetings. Funding is available from unanticipated departmental income in the Emergency Medical Services Department.
Second.
Second.
You have to say so moved.
So moved, I'm sorry.
So close, Tim.
I'll second.
Because I was thinking of the discussion item, I didn't know that we had Emergency Medical Services Department.
So that's Mel's thing, and that's probably our minute taker, Catherine.
Okay.
Sarah Catherine.
Okay.
Sarah Catherine. Sorry.
It's not really a department. It's like a pseudo department.
Yeah. Okay.
From a.
Doug's explanation is satisfactory.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
2019-85 is General Fund Fair Personnel.
General Fund Fair Personnel 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Routt, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriations for the General Fund Fair Personnel budget shall be increased $5,000 from $134,010 to $139,010 to fund the payout of 110 hours of overtime accumulated by the fair coordinator during the 10-day 2019 annual county fair. The fair coordinator is the sole person managing the event and is present during the entire 10-day event, which begins in the early morning and ends late at night each day. Funding is available from revenue in excess of budget generated by the Fairgrounds RV Park. The 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Fair revenue budget shall be increased $5,000 from $87,350 to $92,350.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-86 General Fund Fair Operations Supplemental Budget.
General Fund Fair Operations 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Routt, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Fair Operations budget shall be increased by $14,100 from $328,190 to $342,290 to fund a leaking water line and hydrant repairs in excess of the amount budgeted for the project due to subsurface water leaks found during the project, which caused extreme conditions for evacuating and the need for extensive water removal to fix 80 feet of an aged ruptured water pipe. Funding is available from revenue in excess of budget generated by the Fairgrounds RV Park.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-87, General Fund Public Trustee.
General Fund Public Trustee 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Routt, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the General Fund Public Trustee personnel budget shall be increased by $12,400 from $32,990 to $45,390 due to the Public Trustee's office reconciling all the foreclosure general ledger accounts in 2019. Funding is available from the General Fund Public Trustee Operations Budget. The 2019 Public Trustee Operating Budget and Appropriation will decrease $12,400 from $35,690 to $23,290 in 2019.
So moved.
Second. So then a question on that one, too. So is that overtime, or is that an additional staff member that got charged off the public trustee, or...
I mean, we approved an additional FTE in that office, but I guess...
That's what it is.
So it's
because
part
that
of that additional FTE.
Budgeted at the time.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-88 is motor pool personnel.
Motor pool personnel 2019 supplemental budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rouse, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for the motor pool personnel budget shall be increased $21,000 from $119,520 to $140,520 to fund the employee medical insurance coverage. Funding for the additional cost is provided by a decrease in accident repair and commercial repair costs. The 2019 budget and appropriation for motor pool operations budget shall be decreased $21,000 from $321,630 to $300,630.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 2019-89, Public Works Infrastructure.
Public Works Infrastructure 2019 Supplemental Budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rouse, Colorado, that the 2019 budget and appropriation for Public Works Infrastructure Budget shall be increased $134,810 from $1,950,910 to $2,085,720 to fund the increased cost per ton for 2019 overlay. Funding for the additional cost is provided by a decrease in leveling costs. The 2019 budget and appropriations for the Public Works Operation Budget shall be decreased $134,810 to $5,722,655 to $5,587,845.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's all she wrote.
Yep.
So I do have the accounts payable here, Madam Chair.
Great. We'll go ahead and do that.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the accounts payable. That will be cycle dates 12-16 through 12-20. And the payroll, that amount would be $7,698.75. And the payroll checks total that and the withholdings, $3,562.23. Total warrants approved, $11,260.98.
Second.
Other discussion? Items of note?
Commissioner Martin, just before, just primarily for payroll.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thanks very much. All right, Doug. You got to listen to the most exciting meeting of the year.
Riveting.
Aren't you glad you came early?
Riveting. That was the word.
Riveting.
So what I have here this year, instead of just the annual renewal for our Forest Service contract, I also have the five-year agreement that we do every 5 years. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to review them, but the 5 year is the same as the one Undersheriff Birch presented 5 years ago. The annual is the same as that I presented last year.
We did receive those materials. Do either of you have any questions?
No.
Nope. Seems to be pretty straightforward.
Sounds good.
Commissioner Monger had some questions last year as far as stats.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
I wasn't able to help you very much again this year. I was able to print a statistic sheet that showed how many actual patrols we did out there, extra duty patrols where deputies went out and spent 4 or 5 hours. Now it's approximately 20 for the year, but they couldn't break down, with our Spellman system the way it is, they couldn't break down how many contacts they had, how many warnings, citations and stuff like that they wrote. We're hoping here in the next year with this new joint Spellman tech that we're trying to get in with the department and the police department that they will be able to come in down there and break these out a little bit
more. So tell me what that is again then? So it's,
this is just a list of actual patrols.
So there are how many patrols then?
About 20.
That's fine. And then basically run about 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours. What we're trying to break it down, though, is what exactly they accomplished during those 20 different patrols.
No, that's all great.
So because you, I mean, it's not like you ever just go out and patrol. Are you responding to a call for service?
They can, yeah.
It's not like we actually go out and patrol, or do we?
Oh, yeah. What they'll focus on is they'll get, you know, way up there into Whiskey Park, Big Red Park, California Park, some of the areas up by Stillwater and stuff like that, and just make contacts with campers. And obviously, if they see them committing a violation, then some of the Forest Service stuff we can, 99% of the Forest Service violations, we document it and then pass it on to the Forest Service Leo for follow-up.
All right, you ready for a motion?
So then it requires all three of our signatures.
Yeah, I saw that.
On both of them?
On both of them. Okay. You know, typically we put the chair's signature on there. I wasn't sure if we'd get this done before the end of the year, so I wasn't sure who the chair was going to be for.
It's all good. We can all sign it.
Next year, so I have
no problem.
Madam Chair, I would move to approve and authorize your signature on the United States.
I think it's all the commissioners' signatures.
All of our signatures. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
To sign the United States Forest Service contract between Dow County Sheriff's Office and the United States Department of Agricultural Forest Service, Medicine Bow, Route National Forest, Thunder Basin, National Grassland for 2020.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 So I guess on a further note then, Doug, so you get good feedback? I mean, when they're up there patrolling? And
yeah.
I assume Forest Service likes what we're doing because they don't have the personnel either, and so they like having people out
and
there making contacts on behalf of them for us.
Absolutely.
As well. So.
Is there another one? Oh, he's got it.
He's got it.
Yep.
You know, our local cooperators, Sean Graff being out of Laramie, he's the captain, love it. We've always had a great relationship with our local Leo for this area, whoever it may be. We've had half a dozen in 25 years I've been here, but we've got great relationships with them. So
sounds good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we off?
Glad I can make that one a little bit quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. Very quick.
Are we off for a second?
We can be.
We are in a work session, though, so we're not taking, we don't need to.
Yeah, we don't need to take minutes for a written minute.
We can still record it or whatever.
Yeah, we'll record it, but you don't have to stay and take written minutes.
Thank as much as you enjoy doing
go
that.
Go get some real work then.
Easier to take notes from a tabletop.
It is.
Okay, and now I just need to sign back in. In this agenda packet for this item, we had the draft capital improvement policy. And a side note at this point is I asked Eric Knaus to look at it and ask him whether this is a policy or a guideline or administrative procedures. And he said it is a policy of the Board of County Commissioners Office. I said, that's not what I asked you.
Well, and I guess I'm wondering why it needs to be a policy,
yeah,
too.
That's so,
I appreciate us having an agreement of how we're moving forward on it, whether it needs to be a policy, and again, I don't know.
Maybe the only, I have no idea, we could ask Eric why that's his opinion, but the only thing that comes to mind for me is the concept that you want some continuity, since it's a five-year plan, but obviously a board
a
could change
plan
it at
that
some
gets
point.
Modified every year.
Every year, so... Yeah.
So, frankly, my preference would be to think this gets to what Doug is saying here and make it as flexible for us, easy for us to change on an annual basis as possible.
Got it.
Right.
So
we can get rid of the word policy.
We can get rid of the word policy and we'll say procedures.
Well, no, it's a capital improvement plan.
If we're going to leave policy in there, we need to have the capital improvement plan policy, so it needs to be a CIPP.
We could just call it a capital improvement plan.
We could.
That's what I'm suggesting.
But this document isn't the plan. This document is the procedures for creation of the plan.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, we will also have a plan.
The outcome will be a plan, yes.
So the capital improvement plan.
Whatever it is, there needs However to be a second P in here, Tom.
That's right. However you'd like to confuse me. That's all right.
Or even a program. We could call it a capital improvement plan program or something. I don't know. But I'm a little worried. I mean, I'm a little
policy.
We could go back and call it a
improvement program.
Okay, so the second P will not be policy. Great.
The second P will.
It'll be something, but not policy.
Program.
All right, let's keep going.
All right, well, this is...
Now that that's settled.
Is it settled?
I don't know.
We need a different word that doesn't begin with a P. Somebody needs to go to the thesaurus.
Okay.
We can figure that out later.
I, acting as chair, designate that we've already spent too much time talking about the second P is.
So the... thank you. So this is the second time you've seen the policy and plan program.
The document.
That's three P's. The document. And I provided you in the agenda packet the red line version, so I don't know if you, as you looked at that, whether there's any additional, whether it was understood or any questions you may have or...
So I guess I just
it didn't
have some
look
policy
right
questions.
Or, oh, I didn't
since
look
we're
right
not taking
that's okay, though.
Policy.
Yeah, go ahead.
But anyhow, some questions. So I've always been leery about having the replacement pool combined with the, and I was more into the addition pool. And so I'm still wondering whether, you know, on the...
It's a discussion.
I think from the memo that Tom sent out to us, too, you know, he's asking, you know, we're the same thing, though, too. How is this going to interact with our pools and our pool concept and the rest? And I don't know. I think I can be any more clear that I don't want the pool process to go away, and I don't want it to be confused with the capital additions program. And we want to keep the pool thing, and it doesn't eliminate the responsibility of the pool managers and us as well, the BC staff looking at the pools. But I don't want to do anything that confuses, jeopardizes, or infringes on the replacement policy. I mean, that's such a great thing to have, and I don't want to. And again, if there's money out of there, there's a valid question there, you know, and we've had these questions. So what happens? We haven't funded, if a road grader was in at $200,000 and the replacement's $250,000, we don't have that last 50 in the pool. And we all know that. The other thing that was getting me when we started talking about the replacement pool, we really don't have any policy on what goes into the pool. I know accounting has their guidelines of what goes into the pool. Correct? I mean, I'm going to ask you guys, but equipment does, the IT does, the cars do, it's building some building...
Mechanical systems
go in,
roofs.
But the buildings do not go
right
in.
Can I start with a question about your first comment? Was there somewhere specifically in here that you thought needed to be phrased differently, or you just want to clarify about how the replacements and the additions interact with one another in this?
Yeah, basically in paragraph two.
Paragraph two.
It starts off with, you know, and it starts off with the replacement pools and the rest. And by the way, the Yampa Valley Regional Airport does not have a pool.
That's correct.
And Milner doesn't, and Peaburg Water and Sanitation doesn't either, so we can't afford it.
I'm just asking if there's something in here you thought needed to be worded differently, or you just wanted to have some discussion about it.
Well, I just think that the replacement pool ought to be out of the improvement plan process or not listed or something. I don't know.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think I brought that up when we were having the conversation with when the Munis guy was here, which was it just stands to reason that we would have a separate category
for additions.
For additions, yeah. Not so much that I was worried about losing the pool concept, but just for clarity for me as a commissioner to be able to look at those as. These are additions that we might do someday. These are the things that we've been doing all along and we're going to keep on doing.
And it relates to the question three out of the Tom's memo and the comeback from the executive management team. So how should consideration of CIP additions be incorporated into the current equipment replacement? Personally, I think they shouldn't, and we should be keeping them separate. And then should the funds be reserved for replacements be considered for purchase of additions or such and be borrowed from the replacement pool? And I don't think we should do that either.
Isn't that how the cleft was funded?
No.
By borrowing from the...
No.
It was
going
in cash. It was taken out of surplus.
Only from the standpoint that we had cash in the accounts.
So we had surpluses for 2 years.
But we didn't borrow any money from money that was scheduled for replacements.
Yeah, we didn't need to pay for it with those pools.
Okay. All right. I misunderstood that then. Thank you for that.
So, yeah, we had just like that we ended up having in our budget this year.
Right.
We earmarked that money to go into the capital improvement program.
Uh-huh.
The monies that had been... off to the side.
We didn't need any of our pool fund dollars reserved to cover the cost of the cleft.
No.
We used all...
Positive variances.
Positive variances.
For 2 years.
For 2 years.
Yes. Positive variances and then some of the reserves that we had in pools at the time, already in the pool.
So how is that different than borrowing from the pool?
When you say reserves in the pool, I mean, for each asset, you have an amount booked against that asset.
Yes, that's correct.
I believe it is only to the...
So I think there must have been some reserves that were... I mean, we're talking cash versus where the money came out of.
That's how I would view
it. Undesignated reserves.
To fund the cleft.
We did not use full reserves.
Right.
We did not use replacement dollars.
Correct.
I do know that.
That's really my only question.
I'm trying to map out in my head.
That's the key part. Yeah.
Yes. How the money was flowing, but I don't recall that exactly.
Okay.
But it was most. It was favorable variances.
That ended up funding the cliff.
Not in total. We had set aside. Something like a
$3 million.
Yeah, $3 million, and then another $3 million, and so it. So where that came from would have been like the general fund for those, because which, those were additions in the years that we funded the $6 million,
right?
And then we shored up the general fund by favorable variances. Is what I'm recalling. So there was some in the general fund, but we didn't use the funds in the replacement pools that were already earmarked for replacement assets. That makes sense, because
yep,
the general
does.
Fund doesn't have that earmarked.
So what I'm hearing here, based on this discussion, is that
I don't know. That's just me talking. So I
well, I so I guess the only thing I understand where you're coming from, and I agree. We don't want to. We want to make sure we're maintaining that pool and the replacement pool. I guess I wouldn't want to limit the flexibility, not that we are, because this is revisited on an annual basis, but if there were something where it was, you know what, this is way more important than replacing X, Y, and Z for whatever reason, that there would be consideration to do that. And not that that would be a very common occurrence, and I don't know how this would need... But not that we're assuming that would happen either,
that's
I guess. Do you
know
what I mean?
That's a good reason to call this a plan, not a policy.
Right.
I get your point, and it's somewhat what we did, you know, for YVRA when we loaned the airport dollars to help build the water tower.
Yep, I remember that.
And then so we took it from a pool budget, but there was also a plan for paying it back.
Sure, there was a revenue stream that paid it back with interest, right?
A road and bridge money.
That's right.
But I think the point would be, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that the point would be on an annual basis when we're considering what's being funded that year, we're not necessarily pitting replacements against additions, but that would be sort of a special circumstance where we would choose to do that.
Yeah, I don't want to inhibit any
right.
future commissioners from being able to make that decision on a one-off decision. That,
right.
You know, like we, you know, maybe, well, we ended up borrowing from the Health and Human Services building set aside when we decided to move forward on the cliff. We had concept of moving forward with the Health and Human Services building, too,
right.
at that point in time. So I don't, that's why I think it's better not to have this be a, I mean, and it's a guideline. It could be we end up getting down to the end of the day, we have all these additions. I want to make sure that we don't have any false hope out here that there's a whole bunch of cash going on
right.
out here that are going
to
be
additions.
Available for it.
I mean, that's a good point. Let's say we all get killed in a plane crash or something, and then a new set of county commissioners comes in, it would be good for them to understand that, no, this is the replacement stuff, and this was just the hope-for stuff out in the future.
Yeah.
So and then a process and an identification of those things that are out there on the hope for or build for or things that we need to account for at some point in time based on some additional population and the rest.
So,
go ahead, Tom.
I'm just going
to
try
to
summarize based on what I'm hearing to make sure I'm correct. Separate pools, I mean, separate budget accounts. We have our pool budgets, and so for the additions that are requested, once that's identified within that matrix, and we identify items that we would put into a budget account for capital additions. And then we would annually take a look at our funding dollars each year, whether it's from a budget, positive budget variances, and based on what we have in that matrix, county commissioners would authorize placing some level amount of the reserves into that account for future purchase. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, just thinking about this idea of moving money that was for replacements to additions, you would also theoretically go the other way, right? Like if
it's true.
Costs more to replace it than you had planned for,
we might
have to steal out
yeah,
of the capital
of the
improvement
other.
Things
right.
to fund the
Right. So I think there's always a possibility that those monies would move between those two, but that keeping them separate, it sounds like, is. And then I also, I guess, under 7, just related the same idea, 7A, I think is meant to cover what you're talking about, the priority, funding maintenance of existing assets before adding new assets.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's
addressing in what you're, plan and
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. I think Tom hit that on there for sure. Absolutely.
All right.
It was funny talking to Craig, the guy that was talking to us about Munis, was really flummoxed by this whole concept.
Yeah, he was.
And then he was making comments. He said, well, that just doesn't make sense to me that you would be putting all that money aside to buy stuff. I mean, you may decide in the future that you don't need that stuff, so why would you be putting money aside for it? Were you there for that?
Yeah.
It was an odd conversation. In what was otherwise a really
great
presentation.
I don't know how to respond to that.
What was odd about it?
Huh?
What was odd about it?
Well, I guess it was what was odd to me. What is it that we own now that we wouldn't replace? I mean, and maybe it's just because the status quo has existed for such a long time, it's hard for me to think in terms of not. I mean, if we have, 17 graders, 10 years from now, we're going to need 17 graders.
We're probably going to need 22. Yeah.
But the idea that you wouldn't, I was a little bit baffled by what he said too. I understand he was being somewhat provocative intentionally, but the idea that you wouldn't need that money for something in order to continue to provide that service, even
exactly.
if the something changes.
Yeah, you might not buy 17 graders,
yeah,
you might buy 15 graders and 3
plow trucks.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think that is exactly it. Like, two things. One, that you may change your way you're managing, right? So
right.
You have different
service delivery.
Yeah, the different service delivery. The other thing is the example of the comm center and offloading to the state. So we had money set aside. We evaluated that was a better option for us. And we were able to offload it. Then we have this pot of money to do something.
So, and I think it goes back to the best thing. I think that the pools need to be kept whole as we can keep them. But at the same, we know that costs are going to continue going up. We're probably going to be short in the pools. Every time we replace some, we're going to be short.
Well, I think that's where the capital improvement plan, or whatever we're calling it, goes in.
I think that part is...
That's okay.
Yeah, it's
well,
the second P.
The list, is essentially like all those things, including, comm center, for instance, the microwave equipment, and saying, year over year, do we need this? Is there something changing? Or do we want to pursue a relationship with the state? Are there, other things that we can do to provide the same level of service or improve the level of service and offload the cost, preferably, or keep them the same, or evaluate, do we need more money in here? I mean, that's part of the...
And that overlaps with the PBB concept, right?
I think so. I mean, I think it's, in essence, just saying, we think we're on track to, have that replacement cost when we need it. We are going to replace it, or we're going to look for a different arrangement. So maybe the city's going to come in and plow all the county roads now or something, right?
Yeah, what happens when we get autonomous snow plows?
Exactly.
We'll save money and personnel.
There you go.
It's not impossible, Tim.
That'd be a pretty robust broadband system.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Sounds pretty good.
Autonomous snowplow.
Well, we have to consider, improvements, capital improvements, when we talk about service increases, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our
yeah.
service levels now are based on a certain budget level.
Yeah.
Right.
And so,
and some year we're going to get
a request to plow the roads twice a day.
That's right.
That's not really, I guess that involves capital, obviously. Probably need to
have another couple more road graders as backup.
Yep.
Raising paper.
So what else?
Yeah, what else?
So one of the other things that I had in here, and I overall thought this was really good, other than, whether it needed to be a policy or whether, and I just don't want to confuse the replacement with the additions. And, we come up with this sheet and the rest, but one of the things that we also need to keep in here, based on number 8, after scoping, and because the other thing that we have to keep in mind here, if we're buying a new piece of equipment, we also have to fund the replacement pool for that.
That's right.
So we know for a fact when we buy a new addition, we get hit twice with it. We get hit with the initial cost of it, and then we get hit by the annual funding into
the replacement. Yeah.
On that first time, we're paying for it twice. Over the life of that piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? We need to. So when we're talking about scoping the design, the other thing, like I said earlier, I know I don't have a problem with how accounting's been doing what goes into the pools, the replacement pools, but it would be nice to kind of have you guys write to us what the difference between. I know the buildings don't go in the pools, but Dan kind of decides when they are going to be in part of the pool or they're not going to be part of the pool.
I think a lot of times it's a discussion with the pool manager. And the idea is that the pool manager each year, and Ray, you can correct me if this is what you, whether you do this or not, but the pool manager is supposed to go through, look at the list. Has anything gone up considerably? Do we need to change out anything? Can we get rid of things that we're not doing? Or is there a certain part of the building that was originally in the building cost that we may need to carve out that wasn't carved out initially? And so we rely a lot
to add to the pool concept.
So we pretty much rely on the pool manager and discussions with the pool manager to determine what is in those lists. The starting point may be the capital inventory, but going back to what you said, no, we don't have an exact policy.
So the new Corrigan South Route shop. The addition is not. It's not in the pool.
Until we put the scoria shed on it.
That may wear out in 10 versus 30 years.
Okay.
A piece of it like the HVAC or something that may go back.
But the land isn't going to
Not going to be in there. Or the actual structure of the building
is typically not in there.
Like when the CLEP came on board, one of the things that we did this year, and Steve spent a lot of time on it, he went through the schedule of values and what was paid for the CLEP, because it includes other things that don't need to be replaced, architectural engineering, those types of costs. But he went through and lined out 19 different systems that would need to be replaced,
that need to be part of the pool.
Anywhere between 5 and 25 or 30 years. Lined out what those costs were, and we went ahead and added those in. I don't know if that's what you experienced when you go through your budget.
Yeah, so what we have like the life of everything, whether it be controllable or capital assets, and we've got that internally. That's what a lot of departments have. We have it all internally. But I think as part of this CIP is that at a minimum that we give the BCC every year an updated list of what's happening the next 5 years. And then we've got it as specific as we can down there with piece of equipment. And I'm not saying that it's going to be exact year to year, because sometimes we shift things a little bit. But I think as a minimum part of this, as part of this, is here's what we've got on hand. We got to do it anyway for the audit. We have a list of all our capital and all our controllables. And we just give you a replacement schedule, at least a 5-year replacement schedule. And we update it every year to give that to you so you can at least look 5 years out. Anytime you want it, you say, well, let me look at the 20, because Dan uses that for like the big pool fund, the 20-year pool fund, or 30-year pool fund.
To come up with our graph.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the whole system.
So I think a good part of this program would be is provide you the list of here's what we've got. And if you think there's any, to the extent we know, any kind of additions, like in 2 years we probably ought to add this, or I don't know where that's at. DHS would be an issue.
Well, and we've talked before about your problem up here at the shop up here with motor pool and the rest, and needing more shop space up there and moving motor pool out.
That's an addition.
Yeah, that's just been it's been all over the board.
But clearly that's a separate capital addition.
Addition. Yeah. I think that's what we're trying to get to here.
I think the way we had this discussion at the Brown Bag meeting, and I got to admit I didn't read to see how much difference today's document is from
it's not. It's not different, I don't think.
It's not changed at all.
What we're looking at is basically a plan for additions and changes to the replacement schedule. It's not you put everything that's on the replacement schedule in every year. If it's a normal replacement schedule, you have to justify it with the PCC every year. But that's like separate from the CIP. CIP is, say, well, like what Kevin did at the airport. Instead of replacing a plow truck, he got a front end loader. So that would be something that would be in the CIP because it was different from what the normal replacement was. He had a normal replacement for a plow, but he didn't want to replace the plow. He wanted to get a front end loader instead. And then that I'm not saying that's the same thing we would do. But say we had a normal replacement of a motor grader, and we said, you know what, well, we got plenty of motor graders right now because we moved from fewer gravel roads to more pavement roads. So now we need a plow.
That's as simple as there's an addition here and a deletion over here.
Well, it's a replacement of an existing piece of equipment with a different piece of equipment.
And yeah, you know, that's what he said too.
Same thing. Yeah.
And then if it's a true addition, then clearly that should go into the CIP. But one thing I would so
let me interrupt. There's two different ways of looking at that, and we just did. But let's say you're buying you really need this $500,000 piece of equipment, and you're replacing a $300,000 piece of equipment.
Yeah.
You've got an addition. It's a $500,000 new capital addition, and you've got a deletion of $300,000. I mean, that covers it.
And then, if it's sort of limited, if it's limited to true additions or changes to the replacement, then I think the general consensus was using that $5,000 capital limit is fine. But if it's going to be, if we're going to use $5,000 as the threshold, and it includes all replacement schedules, then that gets to be pretty darn big. I mean, IT said they've got a lot of expenses between, say, $5,000 and $6,000, and a lot fewer, say, over $30,000. And so it's just how much work do we want to put? Because it affects really three IT, public works, and the airport, and who else has a lot of replacements?
Sheriff.
Yeah. No, they determine the sheriff.
Just vehicles, yeah.
They're mostly
there, yeah.
You know, and so it disproportionately affects the work to the departments that probably do the most work for the budget anyway. So
we're asking. You're kind of saying the same thing, though, Tim, too. And I guess we need to talk about that a little bit, too. I mean, if you're trading in a $300,000 piece of equipment and you're going to get a $500,000 piece of equipment, does that need to compete with the other things that were potentially that $200,000 difference?
For additions.
Does that need to compete with the other things that are in the addition list as well?
I think so.
So I'm fine with that, too. And otherwise... But then
it's going to compete with the human services building, saying we're setting money aside.
$200,000.
$200,000 that's not available.
Yeah.
It's competing.
Sure, where the money's coming from. It's
and one thing we do try and do, if there's a large discrepancy like that, and like you said, what is the policy and what is large, is if there's been 300 set aside, say, for over a period of time, we'll record or try and highlight that 200 as an addition. So we know that 200
right.
has to
right.
come from another revenue source, general fund, or something else, sales tax, or something, to fund that. And we'll call that portion of
or another
the
piece of equipment
literally an addition. So it's highlighted. And so I guess one of the things that was a little bit confusing for me, and maybe it's just details, is I didn't really know how replacements were going to come through, and that's what you're talking
about.
This is a great discussion we're having.
And I'm thinking, based on the discussion here, that, you know, and all the comments that Ray have made, and as well as Randa, is that we, for our replacements, we need to come up with that process every year that we're going to use for the review of replacements so we can have a concerted review of it and justifications to bring to you all. Are these still the pieces of equipment
that we need to have, and you approve them on an annual basis, on an annual basis, so that we can continue to put that capital funds every year away to for the replacement. So we'll come up with a process for different or more concerted review of replacement.
So I think we all agreed on that $200,000 difference. It needs to compete with other things.
And that's why if Broad Bridge wants to replace a $300,000 piece of equipment with a different $500,000 piece of equipment, it's on a separate list. It's not part of the replacement process. It now became a capital addition process.
So the other thing we haven't talked and I agree with what you just said, too. The other thing we haven't talked about is the pool itself. I mean, if we're coming up with all the numbers of how much the pool is and the rest, it's probably going to be short. But if there's extra money in the pool, sometime that there's extra money in the pool, it probably ought to go into the capital improvement.
Transfer over.
So I have a question. How come we don't apply an inflation factor to the pools?
I mean, it's been hard enough to
find the money.
Yep. And again, we had that discussion a couple times.
We could, though.
A couple pieces of equipment. Traded in a piece of equipment, and it was $100,000 more than the same replacement was.
And you just ate it that year.
And we ate it, and, you know,
that's one way
funded
to
it. It was the same piece of equipment, cost us $100,000 more, so we ate it. Took it out of the...
Yeah, and I think that's what the county's doing now, is they're updating a lot of that, because when you have a 20-year replacement schedule, and it comes in like this... This 10 years worth, and then this 10 years worth, you kind of get caught.
Well, and I think if you ask Dan, he would tell you it's pretty hard to predict, especially on stuff like overlay and chip seal.
That's what
it's dependent upon the price of oil, and that just goes, I mean, who knows?
Well, yeah, you'll see in a supplemental budget request that we budgeted about $75.
We already did that.
We just did that.
Right? An hour ago.
Yeah, just before you got here, we did that.
I think that it seems like the way we're doing it now is working, and that you would be just tying up additional money on an annual basis if you
unnecessarily
would be my opinion.
By the inflation.
Yeah, if you were to estimate it at a higher replacement value.
So, yeah, I'm comfortable. I mean, we're going to have to. I mean, we're lucky enough. I think it's just great enough that we're funding the pool.
And even if we're not accounting for inflation.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we started doing something like that, man, and then we're talking about 21-year asphalt.
We wouldn't have hired
20
year. We wouldn't have gotten 2 new deputies this year.
No. Yeah, well,
there's a lot of things we wouldn't be able to pay for.
Well, we already had, what was his name up there, North Route, that the accountant always gave us a hard time about funding the pool concept in the first place. Fred Wolf. Yeah. Let the next guy worry about it. Don't worry about it. Spend the money. Come on.
He was pretty insistent.
Spend the money and let the next
tax
guy.
Tax me and spend my money now.
Exactly. No.
Ask the Moffitt County Commissioners how that works.
Well, great for them.
Yeah.
So, to your point about a process for the replacements each year, we've talked several times about just making sure that we have a process for identifying the need for the replacement.
Right.
And I didn't necessarily see that reflected in here.
It's a note I just made.
Okay, great. I just had that note. Go ahead, Doug.
So I guess the other question is, so if we're talking, are we going to have a separate section in this CIP for replacements? Are we going to have a separate policy for replacements? Are we going to have a capital plan to have replacements separated and capital additions added in? So
I think that's what we've said, isn't it?
I think so.
We'd have the replacement pools, and then we'd have a separate budget account for the new additions. And the items that are in there and the amounts
can go up or down on an annual basis. So.
And I don't think it necessarily needs to be separate in this document, except identifying that we're maintaining those separately with the option to move money between them if needed.
I've got that note.
So speaking of which, what did we do with that extra money out of the health insurance pool? Where did that money go?
We put it in a new capital additions pool, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. It's part of the...
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I mean, that was what yes. we talked... I mean, we did what we're talking about going forward and doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
We put it into a committed reserves. In the
committed reserve. Budget. That was the word I was looking for.
Committed capital. And
so that part's already taken care of. Now all we have to do
so we need a good
is well, we need to continue to find money for that.
I know. But the second part of that is keeping the separate list that that committed reserve could potentially fund.
Yes, I think so.
I'm just really excited about this, and not that excited about how the deficiencies that we might have, and where the, you know, the sugar list, the sugar coated list that we might all think that we need. Oh, well, it sure'd be nice to have this. I'd really like to have this in my department too, and the rest. So, but I do think, you know, and again, it's just like the city's list. I mean, hell, they don't fund. I mean, they have a list 4 pages long.
Right.
And, you know, and they don't
and no money
and no money for it. Yes,
is their list prioritized using something similar to the system that's being proposed here?
I mean, for replacements or for what?
For the city, I think he's asking.
Just their CIP.
Well, no, but specifically, yes, that do they?
This is
use
what I don't know. I don't know what the city uses.
I don't think they do. No.
Okay, because I'm excited.
I like the criteria.
I do too. And then the spreadsheet that goes with it. At least there's a way to. I mean, we can arbitrarily overrule it if we feel like it. But at least we know what we're doing.
I appreciate that.
I think the concept also of asking our. I mean, I understand there's some potential of it just becoming a wish list, but at the same time, I think asking our department heads to project out over the next 5 years what are the things that you see coming down the pike that we need to be planning for is incredibly valuable. So that it's not just, oh, this year I need X, Y, and Z, but that there's some idea of looking forward with those kinds of things.
When it comes to the ranking criteria, and then how we count that out. I mean, one, we're going to find out a lot the first year first time we do use this. But the another point is that's in that matrix is there's a column there for weighting. Mm-hmm. You want to weight any category over another. I don't know if you feel like you can provide any comment on what should be weighted, you know, and what shouldn't now, or whether you want to go through the process first. Then before we make any decisions, then we can add weighting to the ranking criteria.
What column was that?
It says weighted score. It says raw score
right,
and weighted score.
Raw score and weighted score.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think if we do have something like that, we need to spend some time on it.
Yeah, I agree.
I need to really health safety, you know, and be a, you know, and again, I thought the criteria here
who's welfare?
We're really good, yeah.
Yeah, I think we muddle our way through it for a year before we worry about waiting. It's not like we're going to run out and buy something right away anyway.
It was meant to be that, you know, I think that waiting could be adjusted every year based on priorities, right? So, you know, if we're worried about, you know, we're seeing that we need to address
safety
or you know, whatever else is out there, we can plus it up. You know, so it just gives you an ability to be more... I hate to use the word reactive, but you know, more responsive to me.
I have a couple of comments on the criteria. So under number one, I'm just trying to think this through in terms of what types of things are going to be on this list. And for each applicable initiative, describe how it meets the stated outcome. There are some things where that seems obvious to me, like a really big project. We would want some narrative about how it aligns. But if, like, let's say we're adding a vehicle, it seems like an exercise in futility for Ray to have to go through and write up, well, this applies to good governance because, and this applies to healthy community because, and this applies to safe community because. So I don't know what the right amount of narrative to request is, but it seems like there are certain types of additions where that would just be kind of a waste of time to some degree. So I don't know the right answer, but it seems like there has to be some consideration of not just asking department heads to just write a lengthy narrative.
That's been some of the discussion too,
right?
About how much is there a limit dollar amount of a vehicle if we're going to add a new vehicle? Normally, it's because we're adding a new position, sheriff's office, building department,
right?
Those kind of things, but. Other adding a new vehicle to our motor pool, when would we add, that's the shared vehicle, when would we add one of those? We have the vehicles are out all the time, and they're not available for people that have requested X number of times, so we can track it. But I understand your point.
Maybe just one narrative rather than for each applicable initiative you need to write a separate, because I don't know, but
I think what you're going to find too is on number one, if you're going to buy a new vehicle, you could probably give yourself 1 point for A through F.
Right, and then you have to write a separate, and it just seems like it's...
I agree with you.
Well, the owner's part of that, that also helps us weed out people.
I guess my point is, I'm trying to remember an example, but I feel like we've had some things ask people to write out a description of alignment with these, and sometimes it's really solid, and sometimes it's just, since I get 1 point for each, I'm going to figure out how it means each of these, and I would rather it be meaningful, I guess.
I would give Side an example of pictometry. We haven't really received a good narrative as far as the cost benefit for doing...
Or to answer any of those questions.
Or to answer any of those
governance.
So just ranking them may be enough.
And so I guess my point, though, is maybe instead of getting a point for alignment with each strategic initiative, I guess I don't know. And then this related to that, number two, so isn't the priority-based budget ranking also based on the strategic outcomes? So isn't there some redundancy between those two?
There's a little bit. But I think that it adds in some of those other criteria that PDB looks at in terms of the breadth of service, the increased level of service, et cetera. There's a few other criteria in there, but it's similar. It pulls from the same information.
And I think what we're trying to get at is how important is this for the things that we care about? Whether it's service to constituents or it's internal.
I think you make a good point. It seems to me that number two is the more meaningful ranking than all of number one.
Well, and I wonder, to that end, if one could really just be a narrative, discuss how this relates to the county's strategic initiative. Because 1 point for each of those starts to get really, really tedious. And that's a lot of points compared to all the other categories. If I say that I can get 6 points because I meet all six of those, I'd rather see a narrative that explains this is going to increase service levels in these ways and make sure, it's fiscally responsible for these reasons. And
when you really get down to it, if PBB is performing as advertised, that's the most important ranking.
Theoretically.
I guess if I could just suggest, you're probably going to be the ones who are going to look at this. The executive management team will look at it too, I guess, and give you some guidance from their perspective. But, make sure it says what you find useful.
I agree. I appreciate that.
If it's a bunch of scores, great. But if you're not going to look at the scores, if you really care about the justification and understanding the project, then that's more important.
Personally, I would rephrase number one as a narrative and use number two to help us weigh how it aligns with our strategic outcomes.
Because theoretically,
you've got to sell me on the PBB, but I'm still here going to be here for the meeting.
But theoretically, number two encompasses all of number one.
It's supposed to. And if we throw out PBB, then we'll change that one, right?
We're still going to have some type of a priority.
Yeah. We'll just have to figure out what that is and how we rate it. This is really just a technical question, but shouldn't number two be reverse scored? Aren't the quadrants, or is that a different thing than the quadrants?
Yeah, that goes up to 100.
Wouldn't be reverse. Okay, not the 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
No.
And then it's
again, so if it's supporting multiple programs, that would be also reflected in the PBB ranking or not?
Should be.
I mean, it may be, but you wouldn't see that, right? You know, so, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if it matters more that it's an 80 versus a 79, okay, but if you want to see that it's doing multiple programs, you're not going to see that, I don't think, unless you drill into it in the system.
I don't know the answer to that. I think we're going to have to go through our process of understanding PBB a little bit better to decide if that's the right way to identify priority, but I think the intention is we need to figure out how this aligns with our priorities as an organization.
Well, I definitely think we're going to go through this for a year, and at the end of the year, we're going to rethink it.
You could, no doubt.
Yeah,
I'm just going to be really happy to see a list myself.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's going to be good for us to vision what the list is, to see it.
I agree.
Could be a list of 10 things. Who knows?
It could be interesting, too, if you took that list of 10 things and did your own ranking without going through any kind of a process,
yeah.
Then go through the process and compare the results.
Well, that's what the three of you get to do based on,
yeah.
You know, being elected officials. Your gut feeling for what the citizens are going to do.
So I didn't fully understand number three, the cost savings benefit. So is this somewhat subjective, or are we giving out, or do we have some way to... Is the way that different people might quantify the savings versus the benefit and the operational costs, is that going to end up getting really subjective?
I don't think...
And does it need to be better quantified?
I think that we... frankly, I think the numbers that we would use for lifespan is what we're doing now. Most of them, I mean, most of our replacement cycles are based on lifespan. So how long is that piece of equipment going to last? And, you know, the new piece of equipment, how long will it last, and what is the productivity that we're hitting? You know, the justification has to also include, well, why is this needed? You know, what's the increases in population or demand on service that's impacting the need for that piece of equipment? Then what are the operational costs? We have operational costs on all of our equipment as we do get more and more into, whether it's the Munis module for program costing and project costing, that we'll have even more information or data in the future to be able to quantify all that stuff. So I don't think it's going to be that subjective.
So, for instance, if we buy a new human services building, we'd be able to enumerate savings on energy costs over a period of time.
Yeah. So you could...
Savings on, you know, repair of existing building. You know, yes, the new building's going to cost $5 million, but we're not going to have to spend $1 million fixing up the old building. Is that the kind of way you would go through and figure that out?
For buildings, probably something to that effect.
Okay. It's hard for me to understand how you would do it with a new plow truck. Well, we decided to add a plow truck. I guess we'd be getting...
We've got an increase in the number of miles of road to plow.
Yeah, asphalt, hard surface miles.
That's right.
Okay.
You know, a greater...
So, you know, the other thing, you know, operational costs, you know, whether... We're right bulging at the seams here anyhow, so we're about going to be renting space here somewhere.
That's another savings.
That's another savings. I mean,
I guess that's another one. We'd see what that looked like after year one playing with it.
And one of the questions that we had during the brown bag lunch was, well, I think it was Mo that asked, are you going to give us a template for what the cost-benefit analysis should look like? So everybody is working toward the same structure of an answer, so of a product. So
that's kind of what I'm getting at, I think. Yeah,
I'd keep it simple on the first year.
Yeah, I'm with Tim.
I can see people going down a deep rabbit hole spending a lot of time.
Cost-benefit analysis can be very much a rabbit hole.
Well, and it's been requested for budget items by accounting for a long time. It just doesn't get done.
It just doesn't get done. You could ask for it.
I think they probably can provide a way to do it. It's just making that accountability happen.
Yeah. Well, even if you had a template that listed, I mean, like some of the things that we just talked about, a few categories, ongoing maintenance costs or versus, you know, a...
So to that point, this cost benefit analysis is something that we need to work out before we, you know, ask for requests. So.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
I think keep it simple, but also keep it consistent. I mean, so that we're not, so that I understand what 1 point versus 3 points versus 5 points.
And I think the benefit of keeping it simple is if we get to the point where we're really getting, ooh, we're close to making a decision, that's maybe time to go down the rabbit hole in something more complicated.
That's fair. On number four, I guess I didn't totally understand it. So I get what A means and I get what B means, but I don't get how it relates to C. Do you understand what I mean? Because number one and number, A and B, 1 point and 3 points, have some numbers in them. And then 5 points says critical priority need. I mean, I understand what critical priority need does, but couldn't it be a critical priority need that serves less than 50% of the population?
Yes.
So in that case, which it would have to get 5 points?
Yes. What makes it critical? I think is the question you're
that
asking.
That is the question. And I think, and so how would
safety we and security.
I mean, I get the concept. I just wasn't sure how these three
how
levels
together.
Go together.
Remember that the heading on number four is perception.
Who's perception?
Well, in ultimately.
But I don't know. But it just didn't seem to me necessarily like those were.
This can be clarified.
Yeah, that they went, that it was obvious how they go together. And then the only other thing I wrote down on number five, which maybe is addressed in number three based on what we just talked about, was, you know, is there additional cost associated with deferring?
That's that cost benefit.
Right. And so that's being accounted for in number three rather than in number five. Is that the
maybe we could
thought?
Do away with this one. Because it is.
Well, I understand disruption, unsafe, regulatory, but I guess my question was sometimes the implication of deferring is that you're adding additional costs.
That's right.
Because it costs so much to maintain or whatever it is.
But hopefully you've addressed that in number three.
And maybe,
and that was my question.
And the cost of maintenance, you know, maybe getting so high that our life cycle should have been shorter for something, or in this case, a life cycle that we're planning for replacement into the future.
So I don't know how three and five work together, but maybe there's...
They certainly relate to each other.
But I guess my point is you don't want to be giving points to something for the same thing multiple times. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
That's all. Those are my only comments on that.
I think it's a good piece of work, though, the criteria here, even after we've kind of niggled some of the details that... Conceptually, it makes sense to me.
So you had the questions, the three questions on your back of your communication form.
So the first one was, which county office will be responsible for coordinating the annual CIP request process and facilitating EMT review and BCC review and approval?
I think us. My opinion ought to be our office, and this is something that I've always planned. I think Dan, too, have planned for Kendra to be able to facilitate and report.
I thought you elaborated on it good in here.
The
process would start with the fund managers. I was a little concerned about, though, with the fund manager having to be the drive for something.
I agree with you.
With the, Ray's going to end up being the driver for the Health and Human Services building when we're really the driver. And the department head driving and working with the pool manager, but
so I understand your point.
Kind of, and that actually, the pool manager might have something that's going to be competing with
that's true.
His thing. So, but I think that rolling back from the pool managers back to our office.
Yeah, you know,
coming up with the sheet and whatever.
The comments I've heard over the years, I'm sure Randa has heard it too, pool managers become uncomfortable in prioritizing one project over another on an annual
basis. Great way to back enemies.
Yeah. So they really...
Or friends.
So they will score it, but, you know, they will put a caveat to their score. You know, one, they weren't really understanding the project totally. It's the requester that really understands it, so really needs an unbiased eye to take a look at it and rank it.
That's fine with me. Okay, number two. Should a different process be used for new facilities and buildings costing millions and equipment costing from several thousand or hundreds of thousands?
To me, I think we're keeping our capital asset pools. We're keeping our controllable assets, and those requests should go through those processes using those forms. So that was a question that was asked, and I didn't really have an answer at that time, but that's the way I see it. I'll raise it back there. He can maybe comment on that one. But I just see the new capital additions, again, by the limiting here, that it has nothing to do with replacements unless there's a replacement. Like Kevin, I think as much as him trading one piece of equipment for this new front-end loader, the front-end loader, is another one of those huge... heads on.
Well, and it ranks through here. It got 95% money.
That's right.
90% money. And then the other five from the state, CDOT.
That's right.
So it's 95% money.
So why wouldn't we buy it? Other than not having the dollars, but everyone has those money.
So I was at the brown bag lunch, and the biggest question that was coming up from the department heads was this idea of something being tedious for these small additions, right? Like, Robert talked about, well, I have a bunch of stuff that's just over $5,000, and so does that really need to go through the same process as something like a human services building? And that's
a great question.
Yeah, I mean, feels like the obvious answer, but then how do we delineate that?
Again, it has to be reviewed and it has to be quantified somehow.
Well,
we could do it.
It seems like it'd be natural to put a dollar threshold to this process.
Or if there, I mean, potentially, could there be like a large project versus a small project kind of idea, and there's still a process for both, but the
narrative that's written for the justification, you know, probably answers a lot of that versus going through a ranking.
Right.
So in the past, we've went through the capital additions. I mean, every year, everybody's asked for capital additions. And we get the sheets.
And it's got a lot of criteria.
We did it in 2018 for 19's budget. For last year, we went through with Dan and went through each of the additions and weighed in. Yes.
We went through them this year, too.
Yeah,
we did.
No, I mean, we didn't do it in the year before that. We ran out of time.
Yeah.
So
that was a crazy year.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, so maybe we need to, not have this process be for things that are under a certain amount of money.
And the question is, what is that?
Just like
what's
I say,
the right
minutia for is the effort.
Yeah, should a project like the remodel of the comm center at $500,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
it needs
obvious.
To go through.
Yes.
Right.
That's why I was thinking maybe $50,000 is an arbitrary threshold.
Or even something less than that. $25,000.
Yeah.
Be part of the process.
I guess it wouldn't take that long to fill out this piece of paper.
I don't know.
Well, for all 25 different whatever that you're...
But I'm getting confused here. I mean, it sounds like from the discussion we had at the brown bag to the discussion we're having right now is we have now drawn in all replacements into the CIP.
No. You missed that part.
Okay, well, that sounds like a discussion you're having here.
Well,
no, it's not.
No, we're still talking about additions versus...
Yeah, and additions, to me, they're relatively few. And
go through the process.
So the point I made at the brown bag meeting, if we're talking about additions and changes to replacement, I think the $5,000 threshold is fine. But if for some reason we go down that road to where it's all replacements are part of the CIP, then the $5,000 our threshold becomes somewhat cumbersome.
And the decision has been made that repayments are not going to be part of
this. Yeah, unless it's a change.
Unless it's a change.
Yeah, and so I think $5,000, and I may regret saying this, but when you look at least the public works, the amount of additions we have is relatively few. So I'm fine with at least for this first year that we use the $5,000 capital, because that's statutory, and then if we find out that, did I ever regret saying that? But I think that's fine.
So if we were to change to replacements,
$5,000.
If we were to start there, and I think knowing that this is new and we're implementing it, I mean, if something comes up or it starts to seem tedious, I don't see any reason there couldn't be some flexibility to say, you know what, you're right, that doesn't meet the gut check on this. We shouldn't have this item go through that process.
So practically speaking, with replacements, how often do we turn down replacements? I mean, practically speaking, we generally fund replacements.
We turned down those two snowmobiles this year.
But for the most part, they're in good shape. Normally we don't, we've been lucky enough that our revenues have been such that we've been able to cover the cost when the bids come in above
what we're right.
So whether that's always going to happen, we'll have.
But that's also more to that point of having a process by which we're asking
the questions. Yeah.
The question about should this be replaced or not, and that there's a good process for evaluating replacements, but it doesn't necessarily need to be this full blown.
No, but what we're saying kind of supports what Ray is suggesting.
Right.
And I think what you'll find, at least within the public works, is that we kind of self-eliminate some stuff. It's just like we had a crack seal machine
right. In
the budget for 19, and the budget was $35,000. When we got the prices, they were $40,000.
That was a replacement, wasn't it?
That was a replacement. And so you were asking, how often do we deny replacements? But we kind of self-deny ourselves.
It. We didn't.
We self-regulate ourselves. When we saw that it was $70,000 and we put in the budget $35,000, I said, well, let's really evaluate it. And because we thought we could get a good used one for $35,000, but we found out we could get a good used one for $70,000 or a good new one for $70,000. And so we deferred it at least for 2020. But what we ended up deciding to do was, let's look and see if we can contract that out. And we're going to try that. And we're going to try to bid that early in the year. And if we can't get a bidder, then we'll rent one for next year.
Or you could also come back and ask for a capital addition on policy, saying we need a brand new one. We're replacing. It's kind of the example that we used before. This is no longer a replacement. It's actually becoming an addition that we have to evaluate compared to the other additions.
If it was something that we use, usually like for 6 months out of the year, like a plow truck or this or that, we'd probably be more adamant about it. But it's something that we use early in the year, early in the construction season, and late in the season. So, like, can we not just...
But still, it's a great example supporting our concept of having capital additions as a separate thing from replacements. When a replacement costs twice what we thought it was going to cost, it's no longer a replacement. Right. Now we're really looking at an addition, having to decide whether or not we really need the machine or whether we should do something different.
Well, thinking about this conceptually, if, you know, Ray, you demonstrated that through our budget process this year, does a good job of evaluating the replacements and determining what needs to be replaced and those kinds of things. And but do we have a process in place that ensures that Ray's successor is going to do that or that other department heads are going to do that? And so I guess that would be the question is what is that process for making sure that happens?
So that's why I think as an add-on, maybe it's an appendix or whatever to the capital improvement plan, is that even though all the replacements don't go in the capital improvement plan, that we give you an updated five-year plan every year of all the replacements. And to the amount of detail as possible. Because we have the list. This loader's going to be replaced this year.
That's the list that we have right there.
Yep.
Right. You already have a
so
list.
When it had all the replacements. So the interesting question is going to be how accounting, whether accounting is going to have one sheet for replacements and one sheet for
additions.
The biggest thing that potential additions in other works is motor pool. Because we figure 20,000 miles a year for sheriff's vehicles, but now we're seeing that they're doing 30,000. So that shifts everything.
Don't worry, they have two new guys. They won't have to drive
this
far.
This is true. If they would just sit.
Two more.
What are we talking? I'm trying to remember where we're at here.
We have that last question still.
Perfect. So I think the second one, it sounds like we don't have a hard answer yet, except that let's start with the $5,000 threshold, yeah. Just additions, and see where we're at, right?
We can write that in.
And then we already talked about number three, right? Was there anything else on that?
I don't think so.
I believe I have the answer for you, so I'll write something up.
Anything else on this today? Other questions you needed answered, Tom? Or
so back to the time frame then.
Yeah.
So is this going to start? Are we going to do this the same way we started in May or something like that? Or you said in here I saw April.
Yep, I'd like to. Frankly, I would like to take the once I get the revisions done to the narrative here, send the form out, or we can start taking requests now. Have a deadline for a request by the end of February, and then start our ranking and our review of it, so that we would have an answer something to present at least during your budget meeting in May.
That we have the department heads.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I have another question. That document that Doug just pulled out, I don't know what the process is for getting all those notes on there. I mean, is this replacing that, or are we adding something else on top of it?
You mean for the replacement stuff and the additions we have?
This has... There's a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, there's a bunch of information that presumably comes from somewhere.
So Ray, this is the discussion we had during the budget. Ray and his department fill out the first one.
Yeah.
They fill it out on their spreadsheet, and then it gets, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then
are we really just adding another, isn't there some way in which this can replace some of that?
Yeah,
it will.
Especially this ranking.
Yeah.
Stuff over there, because then we would have that, we would have BBB, we would have this.
Right. Okay.
And then I think.
Like, let's know.
Do they conflict or complement?
I was under the assumption all that would go away and everything would be coming.
That'd be my goal that we.
That seems
similar.
I think.
Some type of
matrix.
Some form.
That matrix thing right there.
That's fine. That sounds great. I just want to make sure we're not like duplicating and having seven different processes to essentially do the same thing.
And again, I'm sympathetic to the department heads too. About
absolutely. Also, we don't need the same information in seven different formats. I mean, that's not necessarily helpful either.
Are you going to have the EMT team do these rankings?
Yeah, they would. My plan would be that they would start it first, just to see and have that robust discussion, and then we could have another robust discussion with you prior to the main meeting.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
We, the BCC, do a test run on one or two items.
Sure, whatever. However you like to.
So however you want to dive into. The problem is even for this initial. You're going to be competing against whatever people we're doing over next door.
Well, okay.
So nobody gets anything until we pay for the human services.
Well, that's what I'm worried about physically.
Yeah. No,
literally.
Why I was suggesting us doing a test run is as we do a test run on a couple of items, we might identify things in that criteria that are just way more important than others or less important, and we don't have EMT. Spending a whole bunch of time evaluating something that we kind of think maybe isn't so important. I don't know.
I don't know either.
We'll know later.
Well, I said earlier I want to see the list, so.
I don't know where we're at with working out the budget process for the year, but when you start saying February, isn't it sort of insane that our budget process takes from January to December?
keep that on everybody's mind through the whole year.
It's the most important thing we do.
It is the most important thing we do, but that doesn't mean we need to...
It's the only thing you do?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's the only thing you do?
No, that's true.
And couldn't we do it
more? Yes.
I just question that time. I don't know. Just food for thought. It seems crazy to me to spend an entire year doing a budget.
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe all right a little later too, knowing that we're not going to have help.
Like, couldn't we do it quickly and efficiently and just as well as we do it now in a shorter period of time?
Even if it's still later in the year.
Right.
We'll start that on the table later in the year.
The idea that we would spend 12 months making our budget seems crazy to me.
I believe that we need to sit down and really map out the budget process and timing, and then we can see how we could shorten it all, and then see how this fits into it.
And I don't want to do it worse just for the sake of doing it shorter, but.
That's practical.
For lack of a better way to say that. But it seems odd for it to take an entire year to put together a budget for the next year.
We do budget the entire year. They do budget the entire year.
We collectively. We, the organization.
The county, yeah.
Yes.
I understand your point.
Thanks.
I think we've got time.
Glad I made my point.
That discussion
about the calendar.
Yeah. Kevin Ups. Pretty soon in January, I think.
Great.
So Dan and I will need to get in with Randa and Dan in accounting and figure out what that process, what that timeline looks like.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Anything else for today?
I think
lovely. Thanks, guys.
You didn't even take a no. Okay.